Praise the Lord this morning. I titled my sermon this morning. I tell you guys this all the time. I never look at what is being taught that week. But I titled my sermon this morning, Greg, What Great Faith Can Do. What Great Faith Can Do. And I want you to turn over to Luke, the 7th chapter, if you wouldn't care, please. Luke 7. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10, but I'm also going to read over in Hebrews 11:1. And you know that scripture over there real well. I know you do. But when you get to Luke 7, 9 and 10, please stand if you're able to this morning. Let's read God's Word this morning together. Luke 7, starting with verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, say this with me, he marveled at him. He marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. Mark that in your Bible. So great faith. No, not in Israel. And they were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And of course, you know this over in Hebrews 11. You know this very well. First verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can see all of you out here right now. I know you're here. But you know what? It's a different thing to believe in things that you cannot see with your own physical eyes. And he goes on to say, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Brothers and sisters, what great faith can do for us. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning. I want to praise you, Lord. I want to give you all the glory. I want to give you all the honor, Lord. For Father, you truly are good to us, Father. And we just praise you for that. Thank you for every soul that's represented here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would open up the hearts and open up the minds, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would get me out of the way. And I pray, Father, that the anointing would be upon me, Lord. And the Father, that the word would go out the way that you would have it. And we'll give you all again. We'll give you the praise and glory. For all we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. That's why I entitled the sermon, What Great Faith Can Accomplish. You and I look at this and see Jesus, God in the flesh. This is Jesus, God in the flesh. And why he was so moved. Why he was so moved to answer the way that he did. Not because they were disciples. No. Not because he was a rabbi. Not because he was a scholar or some church leader. Not because of the title the man held. But what made Jesus answer this man's request. I've read this scripture many times, Patty, down through the years, and I've preached on it many times. But I want to dig into it a little deeper this morning to what God has showed me this past week about this. And as we look at the scripture, something becomes very obvious, and there's lessons that we can learn from all this, right? Number one, he didn't do it because the man was worthy. Can I have an amen? There's nobody in this church this morning that's worthy. I'm not putting you down. I'm just telling you what the Bible tells me. There's none of us worthy. But this man, what mattered was, number one, that this man was humble. His humbleness that he showed. Listen, it didn't matter that what other men said about him. It didn't matter that they would say that he was worthy. Look, it didn't matter that the elders of the Jews were telling Jesus that this centurion was worthy. If you look back at verses 3 and 4, it says, and when he heard of Jesus, he said he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, this is the elders, look at what they said. They besought him, instantly saying that he was worthy of whom should do this, why you should do this. Can I tell you this morning, I'll say it again, it wasn't because he's worthy. We're going to get into that more here in just a little bit. I like this. I like this part of it. The closer that we get to Jesus, the more unworthy we feel. Amen? The more unworthy that we feel. I can tell you right now, this man set his servants out there to tell Jesus, listen, I don't feel that I'm worthy, Patty. I don't even want you coming to my house. He didn't even feel worthy to go out and meet him face to face. Can I tell you something this morning? In all humbleness this morning, the closer that you get to Jesus this morning, the humbler that you will become. And if you're not, the more unworthy that you will feel. I think you need to reevaluate where you're at in your walk with the Lord. When he was not that far from the house, it says. Well, listen to what it says. When he was not that far from the house, he said, the centurion sent friends to saying to him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy. I don't care if everybody in the church says that you're worthy. I hope and pray that you're like this man right here. Lord, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. Folks, listen, the more unworthy we should feel, anything that is in you that is prideful, anything that is in you that is arrogant, anything that is in you that says that you're worthy, anything inside of you that says, God, look at me at who I am. We need to get it out of us. Amen? We need to get it out of us. Has no place in a child of God. Because can I tell you, I can speak for myself. I am the most unworthy one that should be standing up here behind this pulpit this morning. Because you know why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for this unworthy boy one day. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you see how unworthy you are. And there's only one who is worthy. Only one. Revelation says, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. There's only one that is worthy this morning, and that is the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ. He's the only one. All the blessings. Would you agree with me on this? All the blessings that I have right now is only because of Jesus, the one that's worthy. That's the only reason I have. He didn't feel worthy to go to Jesus. He didn't feel worthy that Jesus could even come to his house. So the closer that Jesus got to his house, the more unworthy he felt. I'm going to tell you, brothers, I've been saved for a number of years. And the closer I get to the Lord, the more unworthy I feel. The closer he gets to me, the more unworthy that I feel. And I praise him for that this morning. I praise him for that. Because praise his name this morning. He is the one. Listen, I like the parable over the Pharisee and the publican over in Luke chapter 18, don't you? You know this story. The Pharisee stood and prayed. And thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men. And he went out and he gave this list. And he said, boy, I'm thankful I'm not like him. I'm thankful I don't do this. I'm thankful I don't do that. And he gave this long list. But verse 13 tells us in Luke 18, and the publican who was there praying also, standing afar off, would not even so much as lift his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Praise God. I'm telling you, that's how I feel sometimes when I go before an omnipotent God. I feel unworthy sometimes. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't care. I still feel unworthy to even lay myself down before God that is so worthy. And in the very next verse, Jesus tells us about this humble man. This man went down to his house justified. Amen? That man went to his house justified. He didn't say the Pharisee went. He said, this man went. Humility says, Lord, I am worthy. And Lord, he says, I am not worthy. That's what humility is. That's what in our lives is whenever we say, Lord, I'm not worthy, but you're worthy. You're worthy of all the praise. You're worthy of all the things. Listen, so number one, if God's going to answer a prayer in your life, you know what? It's not because you're worthy of it. Number two, his faith wasn't great because of the works he had done. Right? Now, look at here. If God's going to answer a prayer in your life, it won't be because of all the works you do. Look at verse 5 in this same scripture here. It said, "For he loveth our nation, and he built us a synagogue." That's what he said about the centurion. You know, God, Jesus didn't answer his prayers. He didn't have great faith because of all the works that he had done. If Jesus was going to heal that servant for him, wouldn't he have done it right then? He wouldn't have had to take another step. "Oh man, that's great. I'm glad of what you've done. I'm glad you've done this. All right, let's just go ahead and have your servant healed right now." He didn't do that, did he, Jamie? He didn't do that. He would have done it right on the spot. If works is the criteria for us getting our prayers answered, for having faith, don't you believe the Bible would have highlighted that down through the years? I've never seen it nowhere in the Bible where that's highlighted. But it doesn't. As a matter of fact, it says this: we can't even have salvation without faith. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 2:8-9. You know it. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Through faith. "And not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'm going to lay it out to you plain this morning. If salvation, if baptism could save you, that's all you'd have had to done, get baptized. Baptizing doesn't save you. If giving of tithes is all you have to do to be saved, if you give your money to be saved, that's all you would have to do. But that's not what the Bible says. We are saved by faith. Amen? We're saved by grace through faith. Amen? That's what it's about. "Well, preacher, I've been serving the Lord for 50 years. I deserve. Preacher, I've paid tithes every Sunday, and I deserve." Some people get this attitude. "Preacher, I go to church every Sunday. I attend every revival. I go to every gospel saying, I deserve. Preacher, I read my Bible time after time. I deserve. Preacher, I teach. I preach." Some preachers get this attitude too. "Lord, I deserve." And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Understand this. James 2:17 says, "Even so, faith, if it has not its works, is dead, being alone." Faith and works go hand in hand. I know that. I know that. Doing great things, doing great. But doing great works doesn't guarantee that you're going to have the faith and that you'll get your prayers answered. That's not the way that it works. The Bible says, now listen to this, "But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness is what, Ken? As filthy rags." As filthy rags. All that we can do, all that we lay after, all that we think, no matter how much we want to puff our chest out and say, "Look at what I do, Lord." That's not what gets our prayers answered, is it? So what gets God's attention in our prayer life? What gets it? It's not because we're worthy. It's not because of the works we've done. It wasn't because of who we are. Let's read verses 6 through 10 again. "Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But I say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under set authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. "And he turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith." No, not in Israel. "And they were sent, returning to the house, and found the servant whole that had been sick." Underline the word marveled there, because I want to dig into that a little bit right there. Marveled. He marveled at him. There's only two places in the New Testament where Jesus used the word himself, marveled. And both of them deal with faith. Did you know that? Both of them deal with faith. I got to looking at this and I said, amen. One of them is what we're reading here today. This man had great faith. But if you go over to Mark chapter 6, when he went into his hometown of Nazareth, he was unable to perform miracles there because of their unbelief. And Mark 6:6 says this, and he marveled because of their unbelief. I'm going to offer something to you this morning. Just a little bit of something for you. You want God to marvel at you? You can do it two different ways. It's going to be because of your unbelief, or it's going to be because of your belief. Amen? This man here, it said, Jesus said, I have never seen such great faith, not just faith, great faith, because he marveled. He said he marveled. Marveled means to be astonished. It means to be amazed. Now get this, to the point of taking his breath away. Can you imagine the omnipotent God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, marveled at this guy so much, it took him back and said, look at the faith this man has. Whenever I got to look at it, I thought, man alive, that is so awesome, Lord. That is so awesome. Look at the faith that this man exuded. Isn't it awesome? Here is God in the flesh, who is omnipotent, saying what faith can do or lack of faith can do. But as we look at this faith of this Roman soldier that he exhibited, and how great was it? Look at the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. Now, I want you to understand how important what he said right here is. In the faith chapter in chapter 11, where God never once said that he marveled at any of that, did he? No. You read down through there. He never said that about anyone else. It didn't happen for any of the disciples. It didn't happen for the prophets of old. It didn't happen for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It didn't happen for David, Daniel, or Paul. But the Bible tells us Jesus said of this Roman centurion, he marveled at him. He marveled. Shouldn't we take notice of that? Shouldn't we mark that in our Bibles? This verse finished up in verse 9, and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found great faith. No, not in Israel. Folks, the key to an answered prayer in a child of God is faith. Amen. Is faith. What can faith accomplish? What can faith accomplish? But saying a word, he said, wherefore neither, in verse 7, again, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Man, that's faith. That's faith. This guy had heard about Jesus. He'd heard about him, the centurion. We know he had. And here he was. And here are the leaders. This is the thing that always blew my mind about the people in Israel at that time. Here was the actual Son of God walking amongst them. Of course, I realize that the majority of them didn't know it, but they should have. They had the scriptures. What they had back then, they should have known it. But here he was doing all kind of miraculous things. But yet, here's this one Gentile, Roman centurion, telling him, Lord, all you got to do is just say the word. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to do anything else. All you have to do is just say the word. Brothers and sisters, we have the word of God. We have it. It's laid out before us. It's laid out there before us. And it says, in other words, Jesus, I know who you are. All you have to do is say it. And guess what? It'll come to pass. And yet, here we are. Here we are. I'm going to tell you, I liked faith when Stephanie was going up here. Glenn, I liked it. I did. I thought, oh, here we go. They wanted to come up for another day. We're going to end up having heart surgery sometime this week. That was my mindset, Alita. That's what it was. And God showed me, Dave, where's your faith? Where's your faith? And he proved it to me. And he has proved it to me over and over and over again. How many of you in here this morning have laid the stones out in your past, just like they did when they come up out of the river. And whenever Joshua come up out of the river, they took those stones and made them for memorial. Can you tell me this morning that God has not done work in your life? And you can point back to those stones and you can say, God, look at what you've done. Look at what you've done. It says, the Bible says that Jesus did something that the angels couldn't make him do. Did you know that? The sun, the moon, and the stars couldn't make him do. Nowhere in the scripture do we see him doing this except right here. Nothing in all creation made him do this. He marveled at his faith. You want God to marvel at you? It's our faith. It's our faith. It's our faith. Listen, not just faith. Jesus called it great faith. He called it that. I have not found so great faith. This man's faith astonished the only begotten Son of God. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. All Scripture is giving for us. For what reason? For us to grow by. Amen? For us to learn by. Faith in Him. Folks, it doesn't take much either. That goes to show you how little faith I have. I don't know about the rest of you guys in here. But I always love reading Matthew 17. And it says this, and then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Remember the demon, the lunatic boy, they couldn't cast out the demon? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. And Jesus said unto them, because of you, verily I say unto you, if you'd have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto the mountain, remove hence in yonder place, and it shall be removed. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Sometimes we read these words and we like to make it like, well, you know what, that's for back then. It's nothing. You know what, we can't, that doesn't happen today. Brothers and sisters, he's telling me, Julie, if I just had the grain, the faith of a mustard seed, how little is my faith sometimes? Yeah. Mustard seed's not very big. And listen, there's times in my life I understand what it's saying there. But you know what? It's hard for me to let it sink in sometimes. How about you? You know what I marvel about in my own life is the lack of faith sometimes I exhibit. Amen? I can't even muster up the faith of a mustard seed. You see, when we stand in faith, we stand upon the Word of God. It's not that I'm standing upon how good I am. Ken, I'm not worthy. I am not. I stand upon the Word of God. That's where my faith comes. I still believe it will marvel God. I don't just say it because I don't just say something just to say it. We need to say it because we truly believe it this morning. Brian Free and Assurance. How many of you ever heard of them? The group? Yeah. They sing a song that says, I believe. And the chorus goes like this. I believe every line, every word. I believe every story I've heard. Written on the pages is the truth of the ages. And it's changing me. I believe. Do we truly believe this morning? Do we do that? And when you stand and you say within yourself, God, I don't see how you're going to make it happen. But guess what? I believe you're going to make it happen. Right? When everything looks hopeless, God, I know you can. When everything looks hopeless. Listen, I don't know where you're at here this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. The devil will lie to you and tell you you're not worth anything. He'll lie and tell you you're not saved. He'll lie and tell you that you're this and that you're that. I'm telling you, put your faith in the one that can take you through and get you to where you need to be. Such great faith that God marveled. I believe God still marvels. You have gotten a bad report. Maybe you went to the doctor and gotten a bad report, and you may not understand what's going on. But like King Hezekiah, remember him back in the old Bible? He took the letter. What did he do with the letter? The bad news he got, he spread it out and he laid her on the altar. He said, God, I can't do nothing about it, but guess what? I know you can. I know you can. And we know what happened. What was 180,000 Assyrians died? And Ken mentioned this morning. Listen, let God marvel at your faith. And when bad news comes, Ken mentioned this morning, send out the praise team. King Jehoshaphat said, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the enemy and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Let me offer you a little bit of advice this morning. Bad news comes, it's knocking at your door. You know what? Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise for what he... Listen, I know this is hard. I know it's tough, but listen, brothers and sisters, God says this man had a faith that marveled God. You want great faith? It's already been said here this morning. Get into the Word. Get into the Word. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Do you believe that this is truly the living Word of God? I mean, if this is what you believe this morning, then brother and sister, your nose should be in this thing. It's the path by which should lead our feet. It's the faith by which we should stand. Listen, Jesus said, such great faith I have never seen, no, not in Israel. And he marveled at it. Can I tell you something this morning? I still believe God can marvel at great faith. I still think he does. Oh man, look at that sister and that brother down there. You know what? Man, they believe. They truly believe. Do you believe some of the songs that you hear sometimes, the gospel songs that you hear? Do you believe the Word of God? Amen. I believe it. I believe he's able to do above and beyond anything. God bless you, brother. Above and beyond anything that we lay before him. Praise God this morning. Praise his name. He marveled. He marveled at this man. Get a song ready. I don't care, Belinda, if you want to get a song. I ask you this morning. I ask you. This is something for everybody in here. This is for everybody in here to answer for yourself. If you believe that God still marvels at our faith, listen, he wants us to believe him. He wants us to believe his word. If you have a need this morning, this altar's open. It doesn't have to mean for salvation. It could mean for you to grow closer to God. If you have a need this morning, please come. But if you need to know the Lord as your Savior, you come up here. I believe there's a God up here that'll meet you.